As the sun sets over the football field at Mount Hope High School in Bristol, a couple dozen cheerleaders wave white and purple pom-poms and urge the hometown Huskies to a victory over the Johnston Panthers. Students and parents from Bristol and Warren fill the bleachers.
Can't compare it to Texas and down south and all that, but it's important for us.
Diane Davis has been coming to these games for 33 years. She started volunteering with the marching band when her kids and grandkids were in high school.
It gives the kids a chance to show their capabilities, and all the kids, the band, the football team, the cheerleaders, they all get a chance to showcase.
When Davis first started coming to these football games, Bristol and Warren families did not cheer for the same team. In fact, the two towns were arch rivals on the football field and pretty much everywhere else. At least that's how many people describe it. But in the early 90s, these two rivals decided to put aside their school colors and merge. It wasn't an easy decision, says Pauline Silva, a parent in Warren at the time and the current director of administration and finance for the school district.
My children were in third grade and fifth grade when we regionalized. And the only thing my oldest son knew about Bristol, even though his dad was born and raised here, the only thing he knew about Bristol is that's where his babysitter's cousin got shot at school. And he was a little, you know, little brown-eyed, doe-eyed fifth grader. He's, Mommy, don't make me go there.
But Warren had to go there. The district didn't have enough students to fill a high school, so the state education commissioner offered them a choice. Send your children to another town's high school or start talking consolidation with Bristol. The result was the Bristol-Warren Regionalized School District, which serves more than 3,500 students today. Back on the football field at the end of the first quarter, the football game remains scoreless, but the band plays enthusiastically. Saxophonists A.J. Murgo and Benjamin Piccolo Evans say they're aware of the historic Bristol-Warren rivalry, but now they see little sign of it.
I mean, if there was any kind of rivalry or hard feelings between the two towns, it'd be from people who don't go to school together here. They'd probably be out of high school by now, or...
They basically would still have their minds back in the feudal society of ancient Britain, I think
ancient
is what we're
Britain.
Saying. Yes.
Piccolo Evans and Murgo say they found a home in the marching band, and it's one of the legacies of the Bristol-Warren consolidation. School officials like to say they have one of the best, if not the best, marching bands in the state. As for the old stereotype about band geeks, Piccolo Evans says it's not a factor.
I really don't think it's true. You know, like, it's, everyone thinks a band kid is a complete recluse, nerd, quiet person, but obviously you can tell from me and AJ that the term quiet isn't even in our lexicon.
At Mount Hope High School, many students participate in the band and more than two dozen other art and music classes like this guitar ensemble. There's also a jazz ensemble, a world drumming class, and even digital audio recording, just to name a few. Students here learn to play instruments, critique music, and compose and improvise. Robert Arsenault chairs the high school arts department.
When it all comes together, you can see it on their faces. A jazz band rehearsal yesterday, we're teaching basic improvisation skills. And all these kids are pumped up because they learned something new that they will be able to use for the rest of their life.
Arsenault says the variety of music and art at Mount Hope High is possible in part because it's a consolidated high school, which can offer a wider array of classes than a smaller school. But the district has not been immune to budget cuts. Arsenault says Bristol-Warren lost its elementary school band several years ago. And now, because of changes in the way the state hands out money to school districts, Bristol-Warren has to find roughly $1 million to cut out of its budget every year for a decade.
It's very clear that our aid over 10 years is going to be significantly diminished.
Bristol-Warren Superintendent Melinda Thies has been combing the books for savings. She and her staff are reviewing everything from copier contracts to busing. They've cut administrators, negotiated no-raise contracts, and switched to a cheaper, high-deductible health plan. But the bottom line, Thies says, is that at some point, taxpayers will have to pay more or start losing school programs.
Across the state and across the nation, there's, you know, considerable expense, a price tag attached to that, and it's the ability of both towns in our little microcosm here of acknowledging this is an investment I want to make.
Disputes about school funding have already led to a lawsuit with the town of Warren, and some critics complain that Bristol Warren doesn't match the high test scores of its main rival, nearby Barrington. These points out the district has been steadily improving, and its high school is among the top 10 or 15 in the state. But it is programs like the marching band that stand out for many students. As the 130 members of the Mount Hope Marching Band prepare to take the field at halftime, senior James Costa says he sees his own future in music. Costa leads the band as a drum major.
It means a lot. I've never really been in anything where I could get a captain role, so when I was able to do this, it's very much exciting because this is what I want to do in my future. I want to be able to have a marching band of my own. I want to be a music teacher, and this is just a great jumpstart.
Jumpstarting students is one advantage to a strong arts program, and Bristol Warren School officials argue that public schools are worth the extra investment because good schools bring new families and new businesses, and that can help small towns like Bristol continue to thrive. Elizabeth Harrison, Rhode Island Public Radio.
Education reporting on Rhode Island Public Radio is funded in part by a grant by the Rhode Island Foundation, Rhode Island's only community foundation, and New England Institute of Technology's Center for Technology and Industry.